Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 36, I think, of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And today we are talking about beating the competition by being different.
Yeah, now by being different, what we mean is being unique in almost any way will give you the opportunity to earn more business versus your competition.
Yeah, and that's something that I try to talk about a lot when we're talking to our customers or we're doing online webinars. Anytime folks are looking for ways that they can grow their business and they want to be different than someone else. They want to think about ways to grow their business. So you have to be unique. And that's how a lot of companies out there drive themselves into success really quickly, is by doing something that either nobody else is doing. And not necessarily that nobody is doing, but a lot less people are doing. So it becomes harder to shop around, or people may have never heard of that before.
Yeah, because what most people think of when they think about competition is price. You know, they think of somebody doing the same thing that you do. You know, I have a small business, I work out of my home, and I do commercial embroidery. I mostly do corporate logos. Well, you know, there might be 5 other companies in your city that do exactly the same thing. And there might be 10 people online that do exactly the same thing. And your first reaction might be, well, you know, I guess I have to offer that same service for cheaper. Otherwise, why would people do business with me? And that's what we're trying to get away from, is that price competition, because there are ways, are alternative ways to beat the competition other than price.
And when you bring yourself to price, then that oftentimes is going to be the business, and it doesn't matter what business it is, because restaurants run into it, apparel companies run into it, obviously, as we know, any type of service provider. It's not just about the price.
Right.
All right. Not every company in every industry is fighting to be the cheapest, by far.
Right.
Not. You know, the Mercedes is not the cheapest car, you know, by any means.
Yeah, heck, I'll give you an example. Our condo association was looking for painters to paint our buildings. And it's not just the price of the bid. It's actually, you know, out of the dozen or two dozen people that we contacted, very few actually called us back.
Yeah.
In a timely manner. Of the ones that called us back, very few came out to give us a quote. Out of the ones that gave us a quote, very few provided all the information that we wanted. So we didn't end up with the potentially cheapest painter. We ended up with the one that responded the right way to our initial questions. So that can be something that you do as well, and just be better in business and your processes than the rest of the people in your marketplace.
And I'm also confident that you probably didn't want the cheapest possible paint on the market put on your nice building.
That's right. Now, there are some people that would. But, sure. You know, naturally, that wasn't me.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same thing, I did some remodeling on my house last year and a little bit the year before. And some things I went with the lowest price I could find because it didn't matter that much to me.
Right.
And other things I went really high end. And some things I paid for somebody to come out and do, and other things I DIY'd. So not everything in everything in the apparel industry is the same and different.
Yeah.
So not everybody wants the cheapest t-shirt. And if you're trying to bring yourself to always be the cheapest t-shirt out there, it's not going to work out for you.
You're not going to be happy and profitable. I mean, unless your business is designed that way. Unless you're ready to start big and keep your overhead low and drive the price down and be the price leader. If that's your thing, then go do it. You know, it's usually more of an investment in equipment and space to accomplish that. Because it's rare that you're going to be a profitable price leader with a single head embroidery machine, or a profitable price leader with a direct to garment printer or a vinyl cutter. You know, you're going to have to invest more up front to do that. And honestly, for most people, it's not as much fun. It's not why you got into the business in the first place.
No, being the volume driven price leader, meaning you do large shirt orders, you are manufacturing now. You are no longer having fun with the design and having fun with creation of things or anything like that. You're in the manufacturing business now, where you're analyzing seconds and numbers. You know, how can I shave 2 seconds off making each shirt because I'm doing 1,000 shirts a day? That's a lot of time.
Right. And that's not really the business that most of our customers want to be in.
No. And it's not something I personally would want to do. And when I sold equipment, I would talk to somebody who would say, hey, I'm a business person. I'm really good at logistics and putting things together. And this is what I want to do. And I want to be able to produce 500 shirts in this many hours. Yep. I'm going to run multiple shifts. And I would say, okay, you need a lot of equipment.
Right.
I know most people are saying, I think t-shirts are cool. It's fun for me. I'm in the cheer business and already.
I do embroidery now.
Yeah, I do embroidery now. I'm trying to bring it up and make it better. It's fun for me.
Or one of my favorite, we just finished one of our success stories or one of our in-business stories at Cold Essie for a gentleman that got a vinyl cutter and an embroidery machine and works part-time. You know, and he's excited to be able to produce things after work, works a full-time job, after work and weekends to make that extra $25,000, $30,000 a year, you know, that makes a difference in his personal life and his financial life. So, you know, those customers are out there and they're not going to be the high volume guys. You know, they're going to have to find a different way to beat the competition.
So let's talk about a few ways about beating the competition by being different. So maybe you'll just like a little brief definition of what that means. That means that what you do is going to be unique enough that more than likely your competition is not going to offer the same service, product, and experience.
Yes. That sounds right. I mean, for example, let's just go through Coleman & Company, Cold Essie a little bit. Cold Essie is one of the few companies on the market that offer more than one kind of apparel decorating equipment. You know, if you go to Tajima, you're buying an embroidery machine. If you go to Anajet, you're going to get a direct garment printer. So once you move past that, they can't help you anymore. But Cold Essie does so many different things that our USP, our unique selling proposition, is that we can provide multiple technologies. We're kind of a one-stop shop and can grow with your business. That has nothing to do with the price of the equipment that we sell, but it's an excellent company differentiator between our direct competition and us.
And then Cold Essie, you know, directly, you know, works with a supply company, Coleman & Company, where the products that we're selling at Coleman & Company are being used and tested by somebody who distributes equipment, which is unique in the supply world.
Right.
You know, oftentimes companies are buying supplies or they're selling supplies, but they don't sell any of the commercial equipment for that.
Right.
So there's no real testing experience and real world experience. And folks come to us and they talk about thread, for example.
Yeah.
And they talk about our thread. And I say, how's your royal thread? And I say, on a showroom floor that costs tens of thousands of dollars to display at a trade show anywhere in the world, there are folks selling machines that can cost tens of thousands of dollars with our thread on it. If the thread is terrible, people are not going to buy the machine. The machine is not going to perform.
Absolutely. And you know, Coleman & Company's customers, like let's say somebody like Madeira Direct or Allstitch or any of these other supply companies or people that sell even vinyl, especially vinyl as a matter of fact, they're not, you know, selling the equipment as well. So, you know, they don't have the direct hands-on experience. That's one thing that you can get with Coleman & Company that is very unique. When you talk to somebody at Coleman & Company that can walk outside and test the product, you know, oftentimes they've used the equipment. Oftentimes they've done vinyl, they've embroidered, they've done patches. So you have a level of experience that goes along with that level of testing that makes doing business with Coleman & Company better than the competition.
Yeah, and we don't make it a focus on selling anything that is the cheapest. And when I say cheapest, I don't mean lowest price, because that's different.
Right.
But I mean lowest quality.
Yeah.
So we don't want to sell anything that is of the lowest quality, because we know the troubles that that can bring along. We're trying to help people be successful and make their customers happy by not offering the cheapest possible things you can buy, the lowest quality you can buy. And you're going to deal with the same thing with that in your apparel. So let's talk, maybe we can start up with some processes that people can do that will be unique.
Yeah, that will, and these are things about your business, about how you handle your business that that can negate some of that price competition that's out there on the marketplace. Okay, and those processes can be anything from how you take an order. So how easy is it for a customer to actually get you on the phone and place an order, or go to your website and place an order, versus the people that are your competition? I know that there are a lot of companies out there, even for us as big distributors, that are extremely difficult to deal with. You know, they'll send us purchase orders, you know, that is a number buried inside an email. You know, they don't remind us of the terms of the agreement. You know, they're impossible to get on the phone during regular business hours. So just that physical process of taking an order could be one place that you could be different.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that you can be different, and this isn't necessarily for this podcast. This is a whole nother podcast. But a way to be different is to answer the phone, reply to emails, return voicemails.
Oh my God, that would be wonderful.
This week I called seven, I think seven, maybe six, I didn't write it down. I called six or seven customers and said, hey, I have a job I want to provide to you.
Right.
Two called me back within 7 days.
Within 7 days?
Within 7 days, two called back. Wow. That literally happened this week. Wow. I literally had somebody who wanted a job to get done. I said, hey, this is Mark calling. I want to talk to you about this XYZ job. Give me a call back. Here's my phone number. Two out of seven called me back.
Okay. That's terrible.
That happened when I started in equipment sales many years ago. The job that my boss gave me, he said, call every one of our competition. Just talk to him for a minute.
Yeah.
So we were at a trade show. So I went around a trade show, and a decent portion kind of didn't even give me much attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that going on. Then I came back. I made a bunch of phone calls. A smaller portion of them even responded back.
Right.
And then I sent a bunch of emails, and a smaller portion then followed up again. In the end, after talking to, you know, 15 embroidery machine companies that were around at that point in time, in the end, two or three of the 15 still followed up with me within a week.
Yeah.
2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm willing to bet that a decent portion of people listening to this right now are guilty of that.
Right.
Not returning an email, not returning a phone call, forgetting about a customer.
Yeah.
You got to be organized and do that. That is a process that will differentiate you from your competition, because believe it or not, most companies don't do that well. We think they do. This is the reason we think they do, because the companies that we interact with mostly on a daily basis do it well, right?
Right.
That's why they're successful. So you know, when you go to your local grocery store or Walmart or Target or Best Buy or any of these big organizations, that when you contact them and call, you're going to either get someone on the phone or get a response.
Yes.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why those companies achieve that success is because they mastered communication with the consumer.
Yeah.
Which part of the reasons why, you know, you may not be achieving the success is because you have not mastered that yet.
Yeah, so especially for you folks that are doing this part-time, that aren't available, you know, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 during traditional hours, some things you can do, you know, to improve your communication are, you could have use your cell phone number or your home number, or you can get a Google Voice number or something like that, and have a voicemail message that says, thank you for calling XYZ Embroidery or XYZ Printing. I'm going to be away from the phone during business hours. I'm happy to respond by email. Please leave me your email address and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or normally I return my phone calls the next day at 12 o'clock. You know, and then you break away for lunch and return your phone calls. But if you set the expectations and then actually follow up on them, that handling of the process will make people feel comfortable, and you'll be one of the few people that get back.
Yeah, and the transparency of the honesty in that makes people feel appreciated too. Where you say, I generally respond to voicemails between 12 and 1 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Yep.
If you're leaving this message at 5 p.m., more than likely I'll reach back to you then, but I'll try my best to get back sooner. You know, whatever it might be, people will appreciate that because, and they're going to expect it too. So you've got to follow up.
Right.
And you got to actually do it.
You have to do that. So other than, you know, actually responding to customers, what other parts of a process can you implement to separate yourself from the competition?
So one is in the process of providing a fair, honest, and easily understood quote.
Okay.
So how is somebody going to get the price of what they're looking for?
Right.
Companies that do it well will generally provide something in writing.
Yes.
With detail on what's included.
On a form.
Yeah, on a form.
It's not that a form is going to contain any additional information, although it might, but you'll look more professional on a form, and you will not forget to put anything in your quote, and your customer will more easily understand what you're trying to communicate.
Yeah, especially when you want to say, all right, specifically look in the bottom right-hand corner. That's where it says what the sales tax is.
Right.
You can point them to it if you're doing something else. You don't have to have the quote in front of them to be able to navigate the quote.
Yeah.
And no matter how many times you've quoted people, you're going to forget.
Yes.
And some of your competition is going to quote them verbally, which is going to cause misunderstandings.
Yes.
More often than not. Or via a kind of a just very informal email. Oh, yeah, I can do those shirts $7 a piece.
Yeah.
You know, without any other details, which there usually is other details because they didn't talk about the tax.
There should be. You didn't talk about tax. You didn't talk about delivery times. You didn't establish a standard for that. A lot of times it's also a great way to get more information about your potential customer. If someone calls and say, hey, I need a quote on 12 Cheer Mom Rhinestone shirts. Okay, great. I usually charge $10 a piece. You know, whatever you say, okay, thanks, bye, click. As opposed to, I'd like to get a quote on a dozen Cheer Mom Rhinestone shirts. Great, we just have to talk about what size you want, what size of shirts you want, and then let me get your email address and phone number because I want to send you a very clear pricing structure for what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Great way to set expectations, to be professional, and to beat the competition already. Because that, again, that rarely happens. Most of the time, someone will just pick a number over the phone and give it to the customer.
And like you mentioned with your painting example.
Yeah.
Okay. Oftentimes, when people are ordering apparel, they are in somewhat of a rush. It's not as often that people need it 4 weeks from now or 8 weeks from now. They've sat down, they've got a pen and paper out, and they are calling two or three companies, maybe, and you're going to be the one that answers. If you followed the first thing we talked about, or
right.
You returned their phone call, if you actually did that, if they started with seven companies, you're probably narrowed down to the three.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Much less competition.
Yes, much less competition just for actually participating.
Yes.
All right. Then of those three, if you write a formal quote, and in your own personality, however you want to do it, but if you provide a written quote via email to them, you may be only one or two that did that.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, especially if somebody is in charge of ordering these garments for a bunch of people, they might just take your price and be perfectly happy with it because you followed through with the whole process and they know it's going to get done.
You made it easy for them, yeah.
Yes. You made it easy and they know it's going to get done.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean everybody is going to follow through with that, but if you're following that formula, you're automatically going to get a percentage of the business of the folks who, of course, they are price conscious to a degree.
Yes.
They're not going to pay $100 for a shirt. Yes, the number she provided me seems reasonable. The quote, got it, talked, I'm ready to order, here's my credit card number, let's get out of here, let's get done, I've got other things to do.
Yes, I agree with all that. And, you know, I kind of want to skip ahead.
Let's skip.
Okay, because, you know, because I think those two processes, if you can get a handle on those two things, respond properly, make it easy to order, be professional, respond with the quote. As long as you're taking care of that part of the business, well, you will definitely stand out. But I kind of had a thought when you're doing the quote to talk about the blanks that you're going to offer. And it goes back to the painting example because one of the painters that we got a quote from talked about the specific qualities and the level of exterior paint that he was going to use on the building. And no one else had done that. So we went back through the other quotes and found that there was either no reference to the paint or the type of paint or quality level, and that they were actually charging more, but they were using a cheaper quality paint. So if you're writing on a quote and one of your differentiators is the quality of the blank that you use, the blank t-shirt, for example, you know, let's say you're using a Bella, you know, higher end t-shirt or an American Eagle higher end t-shirt rather than the standard, you know, Anvil cotton beefy tee kind of thing. Or, you know, something else about that blank is of a better or different quality. Or you just specify it on the quote by saying, we only use this brand, this high quality t-shirt, so it's, you know, guaranteed to last through, you know, 20 washes. You know, we've had great luck with it. Our customers love it. You do that kind of commercial on the quote or in your email, and man, that will definitely separate you from the competition and justify a higher price.
Yes. And specific, and then you also within that process, okay, if you know your customer shopping around,
yeah,
you need to encourage them to ask that question.
Yeah.
You need to encourage your, as soon as you know they're shopping around, you need to know what to encourage them to ask of your competition.
Right.
So, okay, they're shopping around for, say, glitter shirts, right? More than likely,
yeah,
it's going to be done with a vinyl material.
Yep.
So you need to talk about, okay, here's your quote, you know, are you ready to get started with this? You know,
right.
I mean, try to close the sale, you know, okay,
absolutely,
this is what it is. When are you ready to do this? And now I'm still looking around trying to figure out where I want to go. Okay. Oh, so you're looking at around some other companies. I am. Okay. You have to ask them what shirt they're going to use.
Yes.
Because we only use premium garments here.
And it makes
for
a big
reason.
Difference.
It makes a huge difference. Do you buy all your shirts at Walmart?
Right.
You know,
I
don't. And, you know, you could probably get a laugh at it. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Where do you, okay, maybe you shop at, you know, oh, you know, whatever mall,
yeah,
store. Oh, yeah, okay, Banana Republic, me too, because I like comfortable clothes. That's the type of clothes that I sell. Also, not all glitter materials are the same.
Yeah.
Use a good one that looks really nice. It doesn't wash off. It sparkles the way you want it to sparkle.
Yeah.
We only use a good one. So I want you to know when you're buying apparel from us, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, we're not using the cheapest t-shirt or the cheapest vinyl to get the job done. And those may be things that they're not even thinking about.
Yeah, people are going to assume that basically everything is the same.
Yes.
And you have to teach them that it's not the same. And then you can justify them buying from you, even when the price might be the same. They might get three quotes that are all within a marginal difference, but if you've made it a point to say high quality, good quality, whatever it might be, then they might not assume that same of your competition.
Right. Now, you could also be that second call and not the first call. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm looking for this number of shirts, you know, in glitter vinyl, and I've already got a quote. What can you do for me? Says, oh, well, I mean, that depends on a few things. Let me ask you a few questions. What brand of shirt did they quote you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What type of vinyl are they going to use? I don't know. What's their guaranteed delivery policy? You know, what are their terms? You know, is there any kind of a warranty that the vinyl will stay a certain period of time on the shirt? You know, any of these things that are process differentiators you can use to your advantage.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all of that in and of itself is the magic of what makes a really successful, good business stand out.
Yeah.
You know, so whether they're painting houses or cars or delivering t-shirts, restaurants even.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk into a restaurant and either the server or the menu or a sign says, we only use these type of vegetables, local, you know, and you're like, that actually sounds really good.
Yes.
You know, we only use grass-fed beef in our burgers, you know, all this stuff. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Wait, $14 hamburger? Well, yeah, but you know, I mean,
we massage the cows every day ourselves.
I go to a restaurant where a hamburger's $14 there. However, it is significantly better than the restaurant that's across the street that's a fast food chain where the burger is $2.
Which has no meat in it.
Yes.
At all. No meat.
And there's a significant difference in that. So you need to think about that and remind your customers. There's a reason why that restaurant reminds their customers of the quality of every single ingredient, because they know, for one, when they get it, they're going to be happy with it.
Yeah.
But they still need to get the person to say yes in the beginning.
Yeah.
And if you get your customer to say yes, and they get the shirt, and it is all those things that they promised, they're going to be really happy.
Right.
None of
these things matter, though, if you're the person, the guy or the girl, that doesn't call people back.
Yep.
Or are they on the other end of the phone just going, okay, yeah, I can do that. It'll cost you $19 a shirt, and I can have it ready for you in 3 days. You know, if you're that person, that you're going to be very susceptible to price competition because everyone else is going to do the same thing. But if you're the person that gets that information and that communicates the value of the products that you're using and delivers that information in an easily readable quote format, then you have a much better chance of beating the competition on something other than price.
Yes. Another part of that process that is not necessarily something you completely write down or can put an exact measurement on, like you can on a quote and other methods, but you have to be really friendly and not let the fact that you're busy get translated into your phone calls.
Right.
Which I'm on the phone with customers all day.
Yeah.
And whether we're calling them or they're calling us, and most people do not sound friendly on the phone, even though they're a business owner answering their phone call.
Yes.
So answer the phone. Don't just if you're in the customer service and sales business,
we're in, drop the attitude. We're
you
in
know?
Pet peeve territory now.
Yeah.
Drop the attitude
and be nice, because that is another thing that will set you apart from the competition. Call a bunch of t-shirt shops and see how many people you don't want to talk to again.
Yeah.
The only reason, you know, so drop the attitude and be friendly and have that part of your process. Customer service, customer friendliness as a number one thing.
Okay.
You know, that's really important.
I think we're done with processes.
Okay.
I think we've talked a lot about processes, and they get it. You have to do better communicating who you are, what you do, and how well you do it.
Absolutely.
And that, honest to God, that'll make a difference. I mean,
yeah.
It really will. The next thing that we want to touch on are kind of the decorating methods that you can offer. Because this is something that you won't get anywhere else. It's something unique about your business that you can put out there in the marketplace. And that's that you offer more than just one thing. It's not just embroidery, and it's not just bling, and it's not just DTG, and it's not just vinyl. If you can mix media, if you can offer more than one decorating technology, you've automatically cut off 80 or 90% of your competition.
Yeah, in the newer apparel decorating world, in the new custom apparel, you know, small business world that we're in, we're finding more and more companies are not just an embroidery shop.
Yeah.
And not just a screen print shop.
Yeah.
But they are multimedia shops that offer a lot of different services, because oftentimes that's what folks want. If you're a one-stop shop, you can provide it. However, within that, when you start break it down to the individual design that they're asking for. So as you mentioned, mentioned all those examples before. When folks want a t-shirt, be involved in the design process with them by creating a unique shirt that more than likely other competition won't be able to deliver.
Yeah, there were some great examples. Lori Consoli from One Stop, a great customer of Cold Essie, she's on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, is constantly posting these fantastic designs. She posted one today that's glitter vinyl surrounded by a ring of rhinestones around the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely unique. You know, rhinestone lettering down below. absolutely a unique offering that she's going to show somebody that's going to be lucky enough to have the opportunity to buy that.
Yeah,
because it's true. Because it's a beautiful product. It uses more than one decorating technology, and your customer may not understand or need to understand that. Hey, I'm using vinyl. I'm using DTG. I'm using embroidery. I'm using, rhinestones. But when they see that design, they're going to know what they want from now on. And the screen printer down the street and the commercial embroidery house that's located out of state is not going to be able to offer the same thing.
No, and they can't. They can't, which is magical about that business, which is part of the reason why they're successful. But also, what she can say to her customer is, I've got an awesome idea in my head. I'm going to put together a thought for you. I'm going to describe it to you. And it's going to be a shirt that nobody else has seen before.
Right.
It's going to be much different. It's going to look awesome. And there's going to be a lot of bling all over it. It's going to have everything in it that you want, that you didn't even know you wanted in a shirt, And then the best thing you could do for your customers is create shirts that they are going to want to show other people.
Yeah.
That's how proud they are that they bought it.
That's great.
And I own a bunch of t-shirts that I've paid for custom throughout the years, from school and sports and all that stuff that I own. And there's close to zero, that are like, wow, this is so cool.
Right.
Because there's anything else. Most of the cool stuff that I own now is stuff that we made here with all the people here sharing ideas.
Right.
Compared to decades of buying things before.
Yeah, I can see that, and I'm the same way. But the idea that you can offer more than one thing extends to more than just being able to combine different technology into one mixed media design. It does mean that you can offer two completely different areas of decoration as well. So if someone comes into you and they want an embroidered logo on their left chest, you can definitely do that. And then you can also offer a glitter vinyl logo on a sleeve, or you can offer applique lettering on the back of the shirt, if you want to put a number on the back of the shirt. Or you can offer a different technology on a pair of shorts. Or you can offer to do a patch of the same design and put them on a cap that you can send to them. So all of those are different, multimedia and mixed media and multiple media kind of technologies that will set you apart from the competition.
So now the other thing is maybe somebody's new to the business and they've only started with one technology. So they have a direct-to-garment printer or whatever it might be. And they say, I can't wait for one day to offer all these different things. Right now, I just have one.
Yeah.
How can I do things differently? So you have to, for one, learn your equipment well, understand its limitations, and practice a whole bunch.
Yeah.
So people will message and ask me all the time about doing patches or using metallic threads.
Just making a note about that.
All of these things. And they're like, I tried the patch thing a few years ago. I messed with it for like a Saturday. I wasted a whole bunch of time on a Saturday and I didn't really get it what I want done. It's not for me. And I say, so you spent one day trying to do something and you didn't succeed. So it's time to give up, right?
Right.
What else?
Man, I'm not calling you on the phone.
But the thing is that out of 100 people who have gotten into it, 20% said, all right, I realize that what's going on here is it's not an easy thing to learn necessarily for what I want to do. So is making a simple name patch easy? Yes, you probably will get that right within the first hour of doing it.
Right.
Okay, but you want to put 3D puff foam on patch material and attach that to a hat, et cetera, et cetera. You're diving into this world where you're mixing multiple technologies. You're doing something that's harder to do. It's going to take you a little bit of time to learn it.
Yeah.
When you master it, though, now your customer comes. You know the limitations of you and your machine, and you say, I've got a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, so on this hat, you said you want to do this. What if we do this instead?
Yeah.
First, we're going to make a patch with this material. Let me show you how this material looks. It looks cool, right? Yeah, it looks awesome. Then I'm going to take puff foam I'm going to put on top of that. All right, now we've got this cool patch with this background design, this puff on top, We're going to do some metallic lettering on the bottom.
Yep.
And we're going to put it on this hat. Now, this is a regular hat, regular six-panel hat. Nice, right? Check out this other hat. I got this flat brim style.
Yeah.
And now this customer's like, yes, flat brim with that.
Right.
Now you're like, okay, that hat's, you know, $28. Oh, that's high. Well, I mean, that's an awesome hat, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, okay. You know, and they might find that it's worth that price. Now, because you've created this thing that they're in love with, if they decide to take this concept and go shop it around, they're going to run into the shops that are going to say, well, we don't do the patch, we don't do the puff, we
the
don't
other do the hats metallic. Are going to suck, basically.
Yeah,
that's
we don't
what's
offer
happen.
That style of hat. These
yeah.
are the three we offer.
Yeah.
And you can do the same thing with DTG printing by taking a design and adding a bunch of extra colors in it that only the DTG can do.
Yep.
Then they go to the screen print shop and they have to spot color it.
Yep.
And they can't reproduce it.
Yep. Yeah, I love all of that.
Yeah.
I love the idea that you can, you know, again, you're not competing on price. Nobody said anything, you know, if anything, your price is going to be more. But what you're saying is that because of what I can do and what I've learned and the investment that I've made in these few extra things, I can offer you a significantly better product and I can make a lot more money doing it.
Yes.
You know, that's really the message that you're giving them and yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, if you know that you, say, like, you have the DTG printer, and you can print, say, shades and gradients and a whole bunch of different things, you can print, you know, millions of colors onto a shirt.
Yeah.
So when somebody comes to you with that design, if you have a DTG printer, and they say, I want to have solid red letters here,
yeah.
and I want to have blue letters here, and that's
yeah.
what they give it to you. What you want to be able to, of course, you know, sometimes that's just exactly what they want. You have to deliver that.
Right.
However, you can turn around, and I did a shirt for some friends of mine where they just wanted it was for a bachelor party, and they just wanted the guy's name on the front in black letters,
right.
and they wanted, like, a beer mug.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Easy, right? You could do that with basically any apparel decorating process,
yep.
one way or another. So, but what I did was I took the lettering, and then I took, like, a beer effect and put it into the lettering. So then it was the guy's name, but it's like the guy's name was cut out of a top of a beer with the golden
oh, yeah.
color. I think you may have seen this
yeah.
shirt, right? The golden color and the foam in the lettering.
Yeah, very cool.
I sent him a picture of that. That is way cooler than what I thought of, right?
Right.
Okay, so now these are people that I knew, so I was just making it. However, if they would have taken my screenshot, and gone down to someone else that maybe they're still shopping on and say,
yeah.
hey, can you do this? But that guy does screen printing.
The answer is no.
Yeah, the
answer
is
no.
And if the answer is yes, because you're going to have a screen printer that's listening, it's going to say,
yeah,
I could definitely do that. You know, but the time that it's going to take him to set that artwork up
right.
compared to the solid color.
You're not going
to
get five shirts like that.
Yeah, you're not going to get five shirts. And then the price and the cost is going to go up.
Hey, and this kind of brings processes back in. Let's say you are a DTG printer and somebody brings you a beautiful vector. It's the unicorn. They bring you a beautiful full-color vectorized piece of artwork. And they want to order like four shirts. And you could say something like, hey, let's print one now and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, like, right, what do you mean? Like, no, just hang on for a second. I'm going to go in back. I'll be back in 10 minutes. I'm going to print your shirt right now. You know, do you want to walk away with the order? How does this look? Oh, you want a little bigger? You want a little smaller? No problem. You know, that's both a process and a method, you know, that you can use to definitely separate yourself and become more valuable than your competition too.
Yeah, all that stuff is huge to me. I think the moral of all this stuff coming up before, you know, that we're all the stuff we're building up
yeah.
to is like you have to really just sit and dissect your full business, what you do, you know, what are the limitations of your equipment? What can your personality do
yeah.
that's different? What, you know, who do you sell to? Maybe we can even talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Is actually the personality of the business.
Yeah, you know, we were kicking around some ideas and remember the theme behind this podcast is beating the competition by being different. And, you know, the example that we used, and again, on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, I don't know if she's one of our customers or not, but lady posted her first big rhinestone design, and it, you know, it was literally a church lady design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had rhinestones, and there was kind of like the cutout silhouette in the rhinestone design. Church girls rock. And the U in church, the blank space was made into a cross. So what a great t-shirt. It's big, it's beautiful, it's really well done. She's probably part of that community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if someone is looking for a Church Girls Rock custom t-shirt for her and her friends, you know, she's going to call, someone's going to shop this lady who is part of a church. This is her community. This is where she lives. This is what she does. And then the other guy that they find online who mostly does MMA shirts,
mm-hmm.
you know, the phone call experience is going to be completely different. You know, that specialty, that personality that you bring to your business and the target markets that you serve is also going to make a difference. Because I guarantee somebody looking for a Church Girls Rock shirt is going to prefer to be able to talk to somebody just like them or that's interested in the same things than somebody that's going to answer the phone, Bob Screen Printing. You know, there's a personality difference there, and matching your customer's personality will make a difference in whether or not you are in their business.
Yeah, you have you built immediate rapport
right.
with the customer, you know, and that ties back to the friendliness and part of the process of offering good service to them is that when you have an immediate rapport with them because you're within their you're either within their community or you speak kind of the same language.
Yeah,
you know, the way that you speak. The
words that you're using,
yeah, you know, whether it's slang words or curse words or jargon within
yeah.
the community, whatever it might be, where the gentleman who does a lot of MMA type of gear,
yeah.
you know, he can probably come out, you know, with you know with toughness and with you know and with more of aggression, you know, in the things, more excitement, really
yeah.
high energy, you know, and he's like, these shirts are going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to get, you know, where, you know, the church lady might be just more sweetheart.
Yeah.
And that's how she talks on the phone. So, you know, you speak to your customers in the community,
yeah.
you know, with your personality, make it match.
And you
make
know,
it match.
So let's say the MMA guy might ask you, you know, say, oh, okay, is it this kind of a sanctioned fight that you're cheering for, or is it this kind of a you know this kind of a different martial arts organization kind of a thing that you're going for? Because I know there's a difference,
mm-hmm.
and you know I can do different things to match the colors of the logos, or I know that this is not legal to wear inside the arena, you know, or whatever it is. And the church lady might be like, "Oh, Church Girls Rock, that's great. Is this for you know a fundraising event? Are you guys doing a mission?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you doing fun, you know, are you going to have a, you know, at my church on Sundays in the summer, we have an afternoon picnic for a fundraiser for the poor. Are you guys going to do something like that? You know, and automatically, you know, you're talking to a friend on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. Also, the going back to the blank
yeah.
within that,
yeah.
when you understand your customer well enough, then you are also understand the blank that's going to be more appropriate for them.
Yeah, and you should find those in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for example, just the other day on one of the groups, we had somebody asking, you know, where they can get martial arts belts that they can embroider on. You know, if that's part of your vertical market or if you want that community of business, you're going to know.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a few in stock because they're all basically the same. You know, if you are the... you know, if you mostly cater to big and tall, you know, if you make gear for weightlifters,
mm-hmm.
You know that they're going to need certain sizes. They're going to be asking for XXL in performance wear, which the average apparel decorator is going to take them 4 hours on the phone to find.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you also run into... just like the material that you're going to use.
Yeah.
You know, if folks who are like fishermen and boat, you know,
yeah.
they are getting wet all day, right? You know, they're getting splashed and
right.
wet all day. They also want to be protected from the sun.
Yeah.
Because they're in the sun all day. So if you're turning around, you're talking to them. Oh yeah. You're going to, what's this for? This is for like, you know, like fishing competition.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know what you want. So it's not necessarily that you're a fisherman or that you know that
right.
that you live that life, but you think about that. Okay, so you're a fisherman, you're gonna be outside all day, so we want something that's gonna be good in the heat, it's not gonna make you hot. it's you're going to get wet a lot, so you want something that's going to dry or be, at least be comfortable if it's a little bit moist. I got a couple options for you.
Yeah.
The blank is huge on this.
Yeah.
You know, the blank is a big deal. Here's your options. This one's a long sleeve, which you might actually be interested in. Even though it's hot, I know you want to protect your arms from the sun. Right. I got a long sleeve option, too. That's a nice thin, you know.
Yeah.
Think about all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Educate your customer on it. Let them know you're thinking about it. The same thing with if you are not the church lady, but you get the church girls rock order.
Yeah.
I've got a really cool shirt. It's modern, but still modest enough to wear at any event. You're right. Not going to offend
right.
anybody.
Right.
But it's still got a nice modern cut to it
yep.
and material. So it's going to be cool because I assume this is for like a younger crowd of young ladies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's for the youth, you know, the youth.
Right.
Group. Okay.
Right.
It's going to look cool for them, but it's still going to be modest. So they can wear it, you know, at any event. And the MMA might have a whole nother thing where he says, I know you want a shirt that's going to fit well on top. Because I know what happens. You probably have big arms. You buy a bunch of t-shirts that the arms don't fit and the body's big.
Right.
You know, I know some brands that are
yeah.
good, you know. So know your blanks well and offer the right blank for your customer. Stop cookie cuttering
yeah.
everybody into the cheapest one you can buy.
And speaking of blanks, and we're coming into a wrap up
here. Yeah.
So speaking of blanks, you could also specialize in particular kinds of blanks. So let's say that you could be the only person in town that keeps a supply of infant wear,
mm-hmm.
you know, of baby socks and onesies and a particular kind of cap. You could be the only person in town that keeps four different kinds of aprons, you know, in stock for different hair salons and, you know, workers at a grocery store behind the meat counter. You know, you could be the only one in town that keeps rubber boots, you know, in stock that you can embroider on. You could find unique hats. You could find unique scarves. You could find unique kinds of shirts that nobody else can find or that it's more difficult to find. And what that does is when you do a quote or when you respond to a phone call, you're making it harder for the competition to compete apples to apples. And that will give you a pricing advantage. Because if the second person they call, you know, they're looking at your quote, says, what I'm looking for is something with an especially tall collar and low neckline, you know, in, you know, some kind of a performance fabric, you're the one that found that, and you're the one that has it.
Yeah.
So you're the one that's going to get the deal.
Yeah, and you can also upsell with those as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a really cool idea. You know, we can add an apron to each one of these orders,
yeah.
you know, if you want to do that for X many dollars a piece, it'd be a really cool add-on. This is why I think it would be a cool add-on
yeah.
Product. And maybe you get them excited about that. They may or may not end up even ordering that. But, you know, you did provide the knowledge and you provided the suggestion that got them excited about talking to you.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think we've covered a huge amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, beating the competition is so important. We know that from our previous podcasts. We get more questions and more listens than anything else about going after the competition. And I think this is a way, the ways that we've described are ways that you can beat the competition and not be the cheapest, not bring up competitive pricing at all. You know, but by featuring, you know, by responding to people, first of all, right, the process of your business and how you handle orders, how easy you are to do business with, how quickly you get back to people. With the mixed media or
mm-hmm.
multiple medias,
mm-hmm.
with the different blanks that you might offer, and with the personality of your business and how well you match with the people that you're calling or the people that are calling you.
And I think just overall, you have to keep your mind open. You have to think about this stuff because this isn't necessarily that you're just going to make this switch and it's going to start working tomorrow immediately in every single way you imagined.
Yeah.
You're going to have to just think about each customer. You're going to have to make an effort for that customer service. You're going to have to spend some time online or looking through a catalog at blanks.
Yeah.
Just trying to make some decisions. You're probably going to have to invest some money in buying. You know, I'm going to buy
different blanks.
12 bags.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy 14 hats. It's going to cost me $50.
Yeah.
Just to figure this one thing out.
Yeah.
So you can't do it all at once, but right. you start with little projects, become masters of little things at a time, and while you're doing all that, do the easy stuff, like just answer the phone friendly
yeah.
and right away and return phone calls.
And the important thing, too, is getting used to your equipment and understanding the limitations and the advantages. You know, so if you're going to offer patches, be great at it. You know, don't just try to do patches when you get a patch order. You know, be creative. Try to figure out different techniques, different ways you can do it. If you're running an embroidery machine, become a pro at using metallic thread because everybody else avoids it.
And puff.
Yeah, and
the puff is something else that people avoid all the time.
Become a hat master. You know, get used to buying good vinyl and the reasons that it feels better. Buy some cheap, buy some good, and compare how easy it is to work with, what it looks like when you're finished, and even keep some examples.
Yeah.
Figure out which markets that you have the best affinity for, and be prepared more than anyone else in your market to talk to those people. Whether it's church or MMA or dogs or horses or dry cleaners or hair salons, you know, whatever it is, you know, learn that language. Learn how to talk to those people and earn their trust and their business.
Yeah, and put yourself in their shoes when you're placing the order and you're talking about the order. And if you don't know, ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, say, okay, ask something. Ask them.
Yeah.
Ask the fishermen about being wet or long sleeves.
Right.
You know, like try to think outside the box, ask them what their troubles were with other shirts, what they really like, what's your favorite shirt like. You know, ask them questions, listen for the answers, and then if you don't have an answer to give them right away, take time to think about it.
Yeah.
And all these things are a lot of your competition's not going to do.
Yeah.
A lot of what we've said today.
A lot of you aren't going to do it.
A lot of you are not going
to
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're going to listen to the podcast, and then you're going to go back to doing whatever it is you want. That's very disappointing for both of us.
I think that everybody's going to take their own little piece
okay.
that they like, and everyone's going to use a little bit from what we said today.
I hope so.
Yeah,
because, you know,
I think so.
I mean, you know why we do this? Because if you are more successful, then you buy more equipment from Coldesi. You know, you have a bigger business. You come on and you say great things on custom apparel startups. You'll download more podcasts because you want to continue to grow your business. And you end up being kind of an advocate, not just for us, but for the t-shirt business in general.
There's a thing that says that parenting books don't help anybody become better parents. It's the people who are willing to buy a parenting book are already going to be better parents because they're trying and they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing is that's why I'm optimist. I'm an optimist about people listening to this because the folks who are listening to this are going to be the ones that are going to achieve great success, not because of everything that we said is magical, but you're taking the time to think about your business and make changes. And educate yourself in any way you can.
I love all that, and I think we should encourage them to get back to work. And
yeah,
stop
get to
listening
work.
To this podcast.
Okay. Very good. Oh, this has been Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
And Mark Stevenson from Coldesi. I really hope you guys have an amazing business.